Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you all. I am so blessed to be here. You have such a welcoming, warm church. It's been so great. So, and then to see two people commit their lives to Jesus, and it's just, oh man, this has been a great day. So glad to be with you all. As Ken said, my name is Justin Schlater. I'm on pastoral staff with Stephen Ministries up in St. Louis. And what we do is to provide support and resources and training for churches to do Stephen Ministry, like your church does. And Stephen Ministry is a way for anyone to provide one-to-one care for those who are going through any kind of challenge. It doesn't have to be a major life crisis. It's just anytime that someone needs someone to talk with, someone to just listen, someone to just walk alongside of them through whatever difficulty, challenge that they face. And I'm really so privileged to be a part of that because I get to see people's lives transformed across the world. People who have been trained to serve that way, and then other people who, as you saw in the video, people who are going through such struggles that they get that breath of hope, someone to connect with them in their pain. And so I'm so glad to be here this afternoon with you all. Let me open us up with a word of prayer. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for every person here and the that you love them and you care for the brokenhearted. You bring healing to people's wounds. And I pray that during this message that we would all learn and grow together and see how we can learn from Jesus, who is the great physician. And we pray all this in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm sure we've all had experiences where we've gone through some physical or emotional hurt, and maybe during those times there are people in our lives who maybe they sort of faded away. They disappeared, maybe. You might relate to someone that we interviewed for a book that we were working on years ago, and she was sharing that she had a cancer diagnosis and had to miss a few weeks of work. And when she got back to work, it was challenging for her. What made it really challenging was her coworkers just seemed to be uncomfortable with her. You know, they would kind of avert their eyes from her, kind of look at other things. You know, when they walked by her desk, they did the obligatory polite nod, you know, the one that you barely move your neck, like, you know, like that, and that's it. And then she said the worst, though. She was walking down the hallway, and a coworker was walking towards her, and when he happened to notice who she was, he immediately ducked into the first door he could, which happened to be the broom closet. Now, just to let you know, he was not the custodian. She said she was tempted to just kind of stand outside the door, see how long he would be in there, but she decided to keep walking. You know, why is that? You may relate to the woman, but maybe you also relate to her coworkers. You know, why is it that it's hard to connect to those in pain? And maybe it's because we don't want to say or do something wrong, or we're uncomfortable in that, or maybe it's just that we don't think we have anything to offer. So how do we get past those obstacles to connect with people who are in pain? Because we know that when we were hurting and someone connected with us, it can be life-giving, can it? And so how do we get past those obstacles? How do we connect across hurt? Well, as followers of Jesus, we are called to look at him as an example because Jesus never shied away from people who were going through any kind of difficulty, who were marginalized, who were struggling, who were desperate. He never shied away from making those connections with people, but he's more than just a good example for us because Jesus also is the one who empowers us to do the same. And so we're going to be looking at this afternoon how to connect across her. And we're going to look at this by two necessary steps for that. And the first is to understand the hurt. And the second is to respond to the hurt. So let's look at these in turn. So first is understanding the hurt. And when we come across someone who's going through a difficult time, a lot of our reaction is, what can I do? You know, what I need to do something. What should I be doing? But let's consider something. How can we do anything if we don't know what they're experiencing? And this is even true when it seems obvious what their pain is. You know, in Luke 24, we see the resurrected Jesus. He appears to two of the disciples who are walking along the road to Emmaus. And now they don't recognize him right away. And what they're talking about, those two disciples, is the events that happened just a few days ago. That was the crucifixion. And they are struggling. They're no doubt that they are just sad and they're confused and just a lot of emotions going on. And Jesus comes up to them and he asks a very peculiar question. In verse 17, he said to them, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" Okay. Now, of course, Jesus knows all about what happened, right? So he's not asking for his own information. What he's doing is he's asking to connect with them, to understand where they are, to draw out from there their thoughts and the feelings that they had on those recent events. And it worked, because that verse says those disciples stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, who couldn't believe anyone in the area had missed what had just happened, in verse 18 says, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Now, maybe if we were in Jesus' place, we might get a little defensive at this point. Or maybe we'd launch into some information, or maybe we would just try to tell them why they should feel better. But Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, Jesus seeks to connect with them again by asking a question he already knows the answer to. In verse 19, he simply says, "What things?" Right? Now, Jesus' open-ended question gave the disciples an opportunity to tell him how they experienced those events. It gave them a chance to process what was going on, to begin working through the heaviness of their hearts. And Jesus, this is kind of a pattern that he does. He connects with people by inviting them to share what their struggles are, what their pain is. And when he listens, people feel cared for. They're more willing to open up their heart. And when we know that when we open up our hearts, then it also opens us up to healing. It was only after Jesus listened that then he responded. And so we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. That's a challenge. But connecting across hurt means that we initiate those conversations. Because oftentimes people who are hurting, they're often reluctant to come out and say that they're going through something difficult, right? They're often holding back, they're hiding, trying to deal with things on their own, trying to tough it out. And instead, you know, we can reach out to initiate, to ask questions, to understand. Because they may be holding back, they're ashamed, or maybe they are they don't want to be a burden to anyone, or maybe they're just so stressed out, they can't think of reaching out and asking for help. And so when we ask questions, we give them time, we're listening to what they're saying, then we can understand them better. And that's especially important when we are connecting with people who are very different from us. You know, they might be different with a different ethnicity or a cultural background or gender or political affiliation. And as followers of Jesus, we're not called just to care for people who are hurting, who are just like us, but anyone that we encounter. Now, a good example of this is in John 4. In John 4, Jesus initiates a conversation with a Samaritan woman at a well. And now this woman's life had been full of broken relationships that likely meant that she was now isolated from her community. But to understand where she was coming from and to draw out questions of life and faith, Jesus crossed barriers to connect with her. He crossed an ethnic barrier. Jesus, being Jewish, knew that there was a history of violence and prejudice with his people and the Samaritans. There was a gender barrier because at that day, men were not supposed to be talking to random women in public. And there was also this moral barrier because, you know what, any self-respecting teacher like Jesus would certainly not be talking to a sinful woman like this. But crossing barriers gave Jesus this opportunity to reveal that if she trusted him, that he could give her abundant life and the redemption that she longed for. And what happened then? Remember? After she was talking to Jesus, she runs back to that community that had been isolated from, and she tells them about Jesus. This man knows everything about my life. And what did they do? They ran right out to hear Jesus. And so because Jesus crossed barriers and was connecting with her that way, she became foundational to this new community of faith. And so, okay, so what? How do we better understand people? Well, here are three ways. First, set aside our perspective so we can enter theirs. In the book, To Kill a Mockingbird, Atticus Finch says to his daughter, Scout, "You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb into his skin and walk around in it." So we want to see and feel and understand what that person is experiencing. And to do that, we need to be aware of our own biases and prejudgments, trying to set them aside as best as that we can. And that way we can get into that other person's frame of reference, which might be very different from our own. Okay, second is listen well. We can ask open-ended questions. So here's one. Tell me what you're going through. Tell me what you're going through. And then let them talk. And then as a follow-up, tell me more. And then let them talk more, right? And by opening it up, encouraging, inviting them to share, that we can understand more about what they are going through. But not only that, but it gives them an opportunity to maybe share some things that were hidden, that were deep down inside, that they didn't even know was there. Have you ever been in that situation? You start sharing some stuff that's going on, and all of a sudden you start saying things, you're like, where did that come from, right? And so when we ask open-ended questions like that, it can help someone to be open and realize emotions they didn't even know they had. Third, we need to slow down and avoid snap responses, because it can be easy to make snap judgments about someone different from you and to then respond before we have a complete understanding. And so when we're talking to them, we need to slow down, listen, remain calm, be a non-anxious presence. And here's one thing that we have to remember to do is don't fall out of our chairs when they say something shocking or something that we personally disagree with. You know, just be there with them. Because otherwise, what's going to happen if we're judgmental or if we're defensive? They're going to shut down, right? They're not going to share anymore. Now, if we do these three things, that can help us to really connect and really to be able to understand them better. But connecting across hurt is more than just understanding the other person. It's also responding to that hurt. So let's look at Luke 10, verses 30 to 38. So someone asked Jesus, who's my neighbor? And really, essentially what he was asking is, okay, who do I really have to care for, right? And so here's Jesus' response. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying,
take care of him. And what more you spend, I will repay when I come back. Now, which of these do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. All right, so the first thing we learn from Jesus' parable is what not to do, right? Don't be like the priest and the Levite. Just ignore the person and leave the poor guy on the side of the road. Now, we don't know why they did that. Maybe they were fearful of their own safety. Maybe they thought in their mind, you know, he probably did something that deserved what he got, right? We don't know. But the point is, those were religious folks that were expected to help, and they didn't. But then the Samaritan responded differently. It says he had compassion, and he was moved to take action. And if we look at those actions, those all cost him something. So he bound up the man's wounds, and to do that, he had to rip off some of his own clothing to make the bandage. He put the man on his own mule, and so he had to walk instead of riding. He had to watch over him and pay the innkeeper some money to make sure that he was taken care of. And so he soothed the man's wounds, he took him to safety, and he made sure his needs were met. And in this way, the Samaritan showed the love that Jesus calls all his followers to give to other people. So let's think about this. How can we offer practical gifts to someone who is hurting? Now, maybe that doesn't mean, you know, ripping off some of our clothes to make a bandage, but what are some practical things that we could do? Well, maybe it's running an errand for someone or giving them a ride. Maybe it's cooking them a meal or mowing their lawn. Maybe it's just to say, to be a safe person so that person can express some grief or anger or other strong emotions. You know, whatever it is, we want to be there, and those responses are going to cost us something like it did the Samaritan. But here's the thing. We will richly receive in return, because we're going to see God working through us to bring healing and encouragement to people who are hurting. So here are three practical points to keep in mind for how we can respond to care. So first is to validate feelings. You know, when the other person is sharing something they're thinking or feeling, you want to let them know that you believe that what they shared about their experience is actually what they're feeling at that point. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything they're saying or that you necessarily think that their feelings are healthy, but that it simply shows them that you believe that what they are feeling right now, you believe them. And so they are not alone in their pain. Second, ask people what they need. Now, it's pretty obvious to the Samaritan what this man along the side of the road needed. But sometimes it's not so obvious to us. You know, sometimes we might try to guess what that person needs, and then we offer help that maybe isn't so helpful. Do you all do casseroles down here? So in the Midwest, if someone is going through a difficult time, you make them a casserole. It's a Midwest code or something. I don't know. But here's the thing. When your refrigerator has 5 casseroles, one more is not going to be helpful, right? So that's why we need to be asking people, what do you need? How can I help you? Now, another thing we might be tempted to do is to say, well, let me know if you need anything. What's the problem with that? Right? It puts the burden on the person who's hurting. Now they have to reach out and ask for help. And we were just saying, a lot of times they won't do that. So a better way is to actually offer something practical. Hey, I can give you a ride later this week. Or let's get coffee tomorrow and you can tell me more about that. You know? So ask and then offer something specific. Third, don't try to fix the person. You know, fix-it responses, what they do is try to focus on the problem and getting that person to change the way that they're thinking or they're feeling. Maybe it's trying to cheer that person up or to change that person's attitude about something. Now, Jesus didn't mention this in the parable, but I don't think that when the Samaritan put the man on the mule, He said, hey, look, buddy, look at the bright side. You don't have to walk as far now. All right? He didn't say that. And I bet he also didn't say, hey, you know what? Things could be worse. Or, you know what? Remember, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. Right? Or one of my favorite, this is God's will. Yeah. Yeah. None of those would have helped the man, right? Right? And so we have to, we can't be the ones to fix the wounds. It's God who's going to do that. We can connect with that person, but it's going to be God working through that connection to bring the healing. He's the ultimate healer. And in Stephen ministry, we have a phrase that we like to emphasize, that we are the caregivers, God is the cure giver. And that's important for Stephen ministers to remember, because they meet with people in all sorts of life difficulties. Again, big ones or little ones, they are working with people, and they need to remember that in that relationship, it's God who's doing the work through them. And it's also important for us to remember, too, God is working through that relationship to bring healing. Now, at this point, you might be thinking to yourself, boy, this guy comes from St. Louis and he's telling us to connect through hurt, and it sounds costly and challenging. And does he know that I'm not Jesus? I mean, how am I going to do this? Am I capable of doing all of this? Well, let me tell you, none of us are capable of doing this well on our own, right? None of us are capable of doing this well on our own. It's beyond what we can do. That's why we need Jesus. We need Jesus. So how we're able to connect hope, Jesus is the one who gives us guidance and strength through his example. When we are enjoying time with Jesus, when we are reading our Bible, studying it, we become more like him, right? You know, when you spend a lot of time with someone, you start to act and talk like them. You know this? So my wife and I kind of joke around that we can have a conversation with the other person without them actually being there, because we know how they're going to respond. We've been with each other long enough that we kind of anticipate how they're going to respond to certain things. And that's how it is with Jesus. The more time that we spend with Jesus, then the more that we can understand what to do in certain situations. How would Jesus respond here? What is he calling me to do right here for this person? But Jesus is more than just a good example for us, though. He connected across our hurt by suffering himself. He brought the ultimate healing. Right, Jesus left the heavenly realms. He became one of us. He lived and died for us to address the hurt of the world, that our sinful acts that hurt ourselves and hurt others, and the wounds that we've gotten from others who have hurt us, he has come to bring healing to all those things. Isaiah 53 foretold his earthly experience this way. He was despised and rejected by men. Surely he was born for our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And for what? Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Without Jesus, we're hurting people who can't help ourselves, let alone help other people. But it's through our connection with Jesus, we know that every pain is going to be redeemed. We are not alone in the world, but we are forever in a relationship with him who gave everything for us so that we can have a new and eternal life in him. And our relationship with Jesus, it transforms us. And by his love is how we can connect and love other people. 1 John 4:19 says it clearly. We love because he first loved us. His love compels us. It empowers us to love better than we ever could by ourselves. That's how we can connect, by letting God work through us, that his love works through us to other people so that they can be experience that healing love of Jesus. And when we don't love as we ought, you know what's great is God still uses our efforts because he is gracious. We don't give up when we fail because God's love never fails. He never gives up on us, right? Amen. So if you are here this morning and you haven't experienced God's love, maybe your heart has been stirred by Jesus' compassion, then I invite you to consider following him. You know, think through that. One of the church leaders here, or even myself, we're more than happy to talk with you about after the service of what that means to follow Jesus. Now, if you are here this morning and you're moved to connect with people who are hurting, then I pray that God would direct you to know who that is. You know, maybe that's a family member. Maybe it's a friend or a colleague. Maybe it's someone here. You know, I pray that God would direct you in that. And if you're wondering, how can I do this even better? How can I get trained to do this even better? I would consider, I ask you to consider to Stephen Ministry. To think, I would talk to one of the Stephen ministers here to how you might get involved in training the next time they have that. So that you can be equipped to care for people and not be tempted to, you know, duck into a broom closet if a hurt comes your way. But maybe you're here this morning and you saw that video and one of those really spoke to you. That's where you're at right now. You're struggling with that. And you're thinking, I don't want to be a burden. I probably can be okay on my own. I think I can get through it my own. You don't have to. You don't have to do it alone. We weren't called to be hurting alone. I ask that consider asking for a Stephen minister because they are well equipped. They're going to sit down with you, listen, care for you, and that you can be blessed through that connection. We are all called to be like Jesus, to connect with the hurt, as we are told in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. May it be so. Amen. Amen.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening and have a great week.